Thank you for joining us this morning for the Central Message, brought to you by Central Park Church of Christ in Tilton, where we are transformed by Christ to transform our world. If you would like to listen to this message again or previous messages, as well as the Central Minutes, you can listen to them on our website, www.centralparkchurchofchrist.org. Our message today is brought to you by Brother Mike Moore, Senior Pastor of Central Park Church of Christ in Tilton.
Today we're going to begin the first of 31 sermons on the story. We still have copies of the book and of the study guide, so if you still want them, let me know. Creation. We're going to begin in the first 11 chapters of Genesis, so you're going to get 11 chapters in about 25 or 30 minutes, so buckle your seatbelts. Essentially, the first 11 chapters of Genesis cover 2,000 years of church history. It's a long time, 2,000 years. So let's open in prayer and then we'll dig in. Father in heaven, we thank you for those who have braved the cold and have come out. Father, we ask that you forgive us for complaining about the cold. We ask, dear Lord, that you forgive us when we complain about all the different things that we gripe and bellyache about. Father, you tell us in Exodus that murmuring and complaining have no place in the believer's heart because it shows that we don't trust in you and in your plan. So, Father, we ask that you forgive us for those things. Dear Lord, we ask also that you set aside the worries, cares, fears, apprehensions, distractions, and things from outside this room so that we may focus on this message with open eyes, so that we may see open ears, so that we may hear open hearts, so that we may take in and apply to our lives. Father, we praise you for Christ. We praise you for the empty tomb. We just praise you for who you are. For it is in Christ's name that we can pray these things. Amen. Hang on, because what we're going to cover today is key. If you don't get today, you're going to be playing catch up for the rest of the time. If you don't get today, you're going to miss out on God's big idea, which is where God starts with all of creation. We're going to be finding our place in God's story. That's what this whole story experience is about. Is finding our place, finding your place, finding Ron's place, Jim's place, Don's place, Dave and Barb's place in his story, the greatest story ever told. So what we're going to do, I know some of you have the book and you've probably read parts of it. On Sundays, I'm going to be lifting people out of Scripture and we're going to be looking at people's lives. We're going to be looking at the circumstances they faced, the decisions that they made. And I want you to put yourself in their shoes or in their sandals. Kind of look at what they were going through. Think about that situation that they faced themselves with or in. And would I make that same decision? Because the people in Scripture are just like us. They put on their shirts one sleeve at a time. They pulled on their pants one leg at a time. They worried about what am I going to put on the food? What am I going to cook for dinner? They worried about, is my job secure? They worried about the same things that we do each and every day. Is my health going to last? They worried about those things. These are real people. So as we look at these people as real individuals, we see ourselves in their lives. And we see things from their lives in our life today as our lives play out. So that's why it's so important, and the stress is going to be on people, because people play the starring role in God's story. The big idea. This is God's big idea. All of Scripture is centered around this idea. God and people living together in harmony. That's why creation was created. The whole world was made for us and for us to have fellowship with God. Personal, intimate, walking side by side, God putting his arm around us, walking with us, sharing with us, us sharing with him. That's why creation was created, and that's why we as human beings were created. And from the beginning, we all had the freedom to choose. And along with that freedom to choose, there were consequences. There are consequences. Look back over your life. Was there a choice that you made that didn't have any consequences to it? You see, in the beginning, God shared his vision with Adam and Eve to see if they would accept his vision, to see if they were willing to live together in harmony with God. And you see, God took the first step to reach out to Adam and Eve. Love was the purpose, was the motivation behind God creating all this. All of creation is an expression of God's love for us. You see the turning of the seasons. It's hard to think that when it's 5 below outside that, yeah, okay, God loves us, so he gives us cold. It's like, really, God? I mean, I could use a different kind of love, like some 70-degree love. But we see the seasons turning. We see the beauty of creation all around us. I don't know how many of y'all have ever been to the Grand Canyon. It's probably one of my favorite national parks. The beauty. You cannot stand in one spot and focus your eyes in one spot and take it all in. It's like, you made this just for me? The laughter of a child. Is there anything more beautiful to a parent's ear than the honest, sincere belly laughter of a small child? God loves us. He created these things for us. That's how we experience God. One of the ways that we experience God is through his creation. And as we proceed through these next weeks, we're going to look at the relationships that people have with each other and the relationships that people had with God. And we're going to explore some of those elements. And keep in mind that God gives us all free will. We have the freedom to choose whether to accept his love or reject his love. To accept him and live in harmony with him, or to reject him and live in disobedience. But we must keep in mind that with our choice, there are consequences. I'm going to open today with good choices, bad choices. And we're going to look at 4 cases where people had the chance to make good choices, but instead they made bad choices. I'm sure that all of us have always made good choices, right? Well, okay. All y'all except me, because I've made some doozies. But in each one of the bad choices we made, we've had to suffer the consequences. Nothing new. What we're going to see as we look into these case studies and through the rest of this study, we're going to see a pattern emerge that we follow. We'll see this pattern all through the Bible, okay? And it's essentially a 4-step pattern. It's got 4 sides to it. If you think about it as a square or a circle, broken up into 4 segments, and they all kind of just loop back together. The first segment is disobedience. We're going to see disobedience. The second segment is judgment. We're going to see judgment. The third segment is punishment. We're going to see punishment. And then the 4th segment is mercy, and we're going to see mercy. We're going to begin, of course, at the beginning. So we're going to be in Genesis. Open your Bibles to Genesis. And we're going to start with Adam and Eve. And this is Genesis 3:6. And it says, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes, that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate." What we just saw here was the fall from grace. Now, it goes through this whole chapter, but I think this chapter turns on this verse. This would be the hinge of the door, if you will, of chapter 3. Remember I said there's consequences to the bad choices that we make? Okay, the consequence of this bad choice we are living with today. And this is the consequence of sin. This is where sin entered in to all of humanity. Adam and Eve both sinned. Their first mistake was in doubting what God said. They believed the serpent, a liar. They believed the lie. Satan's favorite tool is a wedge. Did you know that? Satan will drive a wedge between people. He will drive a wedge between church members. He will drive a wedge between churches in different denominations. He will drive a wedge in the middle of your heart to separate your feelings from one side to the other. Satan was trying to drive a wedge between Adam and Eve here, and between them and God. Adam said, "Eve, it's your fault. You're the one that ate the apple." How many times did guys look back on this and go, "Well, it's the woman's fault"? And Eve could have just as easily turned around and said, "Dummy, where were you? Why didn't you keep me from doing this?" Didn't happen. But see, neither one of them could control themselves. They were tempted. Lust of the eyes. Hey, it's pretty to look at. It's a delight to the eyes. Lust of the flesh. Hey, it's food. It's good to eat. Lust of the heart. We will be as wise as God. 3 points to sin. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, lust of the heart. All these things make up the root of sin, which is disobedience. That's the first arc in this circle. Disobedience. And God pronounced his judgment for their disobedience and their punishment. Exile from Eden. Hard work. Labor pains for the woman. If men had to have babies, I tell you what, there would be a lot fewer people in this world. I've been with my wife when she delivered our children. I'm sorry. No, I ain't doing it. I don't know if I could do it. And the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate punishment is physical death. But there's mercy here too. I want you to don't forget the mercy. You see, God did not condemn their souls to hell. Was it Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin are death." God spared them. Now, they still had to suffer the consequences of those bad decisions, of that bad decision, which was exile. But we see that cycle playing out. They disobeyed. There was judgment. There was punishment. And yet, there was mercy. Do you see that cycle? And follow that cycle as we go on to our second case. Cain and Abel, Genesis 4, 3, 4, and 5 says, "In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. And the Lord had regarded Abel for his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell." You see, Cain believed the lie that he could come to God on his own terms with his offering. Not the best of the first fruits, not the best of the fruit of the ground, but whatever he could gather up and take. We had a people study on Wednesday night on Cain, on the person of Cain and his offering. And one of the things that we talked about was his offering didn't come from his heart. Okay? Let's just say Cain's offering was a bushel basket of apples. Don't know. Let's just say it was a bushel basket of apples. Did Cain go to the tree and climb up and pick down the best apples and the shiniest ones and the ones that didn't have any worm and put them in the basket and said, "Lord, this is the best you have blessed me with and I want to give it back to you"? Cain probably just gathered some up off the ground and said, "Well, you know, the law says I need to do this, so let me go. Okay, well, here, Lord. Boom. Here's my offering." His heart wasn't in it. But if you look at Abel's offering, it says about Abel, he brought the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. And the fat portion simply means the choicest cuts of meat. Abel ate hamburger when he put steak on the altar. His heart, Abel's heart was in it. Cain's wasn't. But Cain's thinking was, "I didn't do anything wrong." How often do we think that? "I didn't do anything wrong. It wasn't my fault. It was his fault. It was their fault." Adam said, "Well, it wasn't my fault. It was Eve's fault." Do we not fall into that same trap? We blame others, I think, because we are too hard-hearted in ourselves to accept the blame for what we've done wrong. We're too bullheaded and stubborn and proud to admit to God that, you know what, I screwed up. Oh, no, 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 no. Lord, it's your fault because you put this temptation in front of me. Don't work that way, friends. Disobedience, judgment, punishment, and mercy. Cain's punishment was exile. Cain's punishment was the fact that he had to live for the rest of his life apart from God. And he bore some type of mark that people who saw him, came in contact with him, met him and knew, this is the one who disobeyed God. I'm to have nothing to do with him. And through Cain's descendants, we have the Canaanites. And we're going to fast forward into biblical history, into the future of where we are now. And you will find that the Canaanites were the enemies of Israel on so many different levels, in so many different places. We're going to find that. Just kind of file that one away and look for it. But yet there was mercy. God didn't kill him. God allowed him to live and have children and have a life. And the children had descendants. And they were able to continue to exist. Third case study. Noah. Noah and the people who lived at the same time. We're all kind of familiar with this story. This is a story that we tell our children. Genesis 6:13. And there's some other verses I think I need to read to kind of make it better, maybe. I'm going to start out in 6:5. It said, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only on evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Can you imagine God suffering grief? But it says here, God was grieved. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creepy thing, birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God. I'm going to jump down to verse 11. It says, the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And verse 13 says, and God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end to all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Increasingly corrupt. Are we seeing that play out today? Mankind was so depraved in those times. Is it so much different today? The world was going downhill fast. We got a phrase around here saying, oh, it's going to hell in a handbasket. I'm telling you what, brothers and sisters, our country is. You look at the things that are going on within our nation's borders, within the city limits of some of our metropolitan areas, even within the city limits of our own community here in Danville and in the Tilton area. God regretted that he made man, his greatest creation we just saw earlier. His greatest creation. God was ready to wipe him off the face of the earth. But yet, one man God found righteous. They believed the lie. The people believed the lie. They were living a deceptive life. They thought they could do all these things that were contrary to what God desired and still be under his grace. And still be under his protection. How many of us think that today? Oh, I go to church. I fill out my little God box every Sunday. I do my thing. Brothers and sisters, church is being a member of a church is not like being a member of the lodge. It's not like going to the lodge. I put in my time. I pay my dues. Hey, I'm good. I'm an upstanding lodge member. Oh, I've been 30 years in the lodge. Take your pick of whichever lodge. It could be the Elks, it could be the Masonic Temple, it could be the Shriners, It could be the Knights of the Columbus if you happen to worship on the other side of the street. Whatever, it could be the Rotary, the Kiwanis, whatever. You can't just pay your dues and show up for the meetings at church and expect God to go, "He's my kid, I'm proud of him." Rabbit trail. If you do, if you think that, you are deceiving yourself. You are being deceived by Satan, bottom line. We were created for fellowship with God. So were they. They were living corrupt lives. They destroyed the fellowship that they had with God. They were disobedient. God's judgment was, "I'm going to wipe you off the face of the earth." His punishment was, "Here comes the rain. Here comes the rain." That ark floated 150 days on the waters before the waters receded. I can't tread water more than 15 minutes, let alone 150 days. But yet, there was mercy. Where's the mercy in all this? God spared Noah and his family. And through them, humanity was restored. Now, the last case may be a little bit unfamiliar to you, and I'm going to move quickly through this one. Nimrod. How many of y'all have ever heard of Nimrod? And this one isn't in the story, and I do not know why. Fourth case for disobedient in the disobedience, judgment, punishment, and mercy cycle is this. And I think this is just as important to look at as the rest of them, even though it's not in the story. And the reason I'm picking on Nimrod, because Nimrod was the ruler, and this is found in Genesis 10, beginning in Genesis 10. This comes a little bit later. He was the one who led the people astray, and the leader is always held accountable for what happens here, for what happens within the people. When I'm called in front of the Lord on Judgment Day, I will be accountable to Him, not only for my own actions, but for what I have taught and what I have preached and what I have tried to do within Central Park. Because the people who are leaders are held to a higher standard because we have a higher responsibility, a greater responsibility. Their sin, the sin of these people, was a lust for power and control. And I think you'll find that in chapter 11, verse 4. The people wanted to unify themselves. Nimrod was the great ruler of the day. He was the one who wanted to unify all the people so that they could be a great people, so that they could make a name for themselves. But see, they didn't want to do these things to honor God. They wanted to do these things to honor and glorify themselves. They put themselves above God, and God punished them. But don't we do that same thing? Don't we put ourselves in place of God when we seek after positions of authority, whether it's in the church or in the community or in the workplace, just so we can be the boss, just so we can tell other people what to do? Don't we want that? Don't we want that power? Don't we want to be able to stand up? Don't we want to be the person that's, "Hey, oh, look at, man, he's the boss. Everybody looks at him and respects him or fears him. I want to be that person." No, God wants to be that person in our lives. We see judgment and punishment. They built this tower. Therefore, its name was called Babel. Babel, Babel. Because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over all the face of the earth. Judgment and punishment. They were found guilty of trying to make themselves like God, so their punishment was a barrier between them and all the people around them. And you know what that barrier was? The language barrier. God confused their tongues. He confused the language. How many of y'all have ever been dropped in a foreign culture where you don't know the language? Where you can't speak the local tongue. You can't even ask, "Hey man, where's the bathroom?" It's like, "Where's the bathroom? I want some water. What do I say to get a drink of cold water?" God put a barrier between people, and He scattered them all over the face of the earth. There's the punishment. They were disobedient. They put themselves up like God. Their judgment was they were found guilty of putting themselves up like God. And you notice their actions judged them. people say, well, God's judging me. No, your actions demanded that God make a decision on what you've done. Their judgment was because of what they did. Their punishment was to be scattered all over the face of the earth. So where's the mercy? Where's the mercy? God spared them. God did not kill them all as he had just done. 3 generations, 4 generations before Nimrod, you go back in the genealogies and you see where Noah and his kids got off the ark. Less than 3 generations later, civilization's back in the same place it was before the flood. What did they learn? Not very much. What have we learned in all the years since then with this evil, wicked nature in our hearts? Have we learned all that much? Here's our takeaway. Your story, my story, God's story. Proverbs 16, 1 and 2 says, the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs his own spirit, weighs the spirit. You see, God's design is to restore humanity and to restore the unity of humanity when we go back to God's big idea. God is a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances. But brothers and sisters, I am telling you, there will come a time when God's voice will go silent in your ears and you will not have a chance to say, Lord, I'm sorry. There will come a time. There will come a time when you will come back to God and say, Lord, forgive me. And God will say, you know, for 1,500 Sundays I've told you this message and you didn't listen. So why are you listening now? Don't wait. Don't wait. Square your accounts with him soon. God's design is for us to be restored, but we can't restore it on our own terms. It's not like being a lodge member. I can, you know what, I fell behind in my dues. I can just pay my years back dues and I can get restored to be a member in good standing. Don't work that way with God. You got to do it his way. To be blessed by his blessings. To live under his protection. That's how God wants us. That's how we play our part in his story. Is by becoming part of the family. And in that, we will be part of the greatest story ever told. Father in heaven, we thank you for our time. We thank you for these examples. Lord, I know these are negative examples. Father, next week we're going to look at Abraham and we're going to look at a positive example. We're going to look at a man who dedicated his life for you and yet made mistakes, made bad decisions along the way. Father, as we go today, let us evaluate our lives. Let us look at our actions and our behaviors and our thoughts, even our very thoughts. We need to lay down before you so that you can show us where we've fallen short of your glory. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and most of all, we love you, and we give you our lives to do with as you see fit. For we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.